I've wondered, what is the purpose of West Coast Baptist College? Why do we have the college here on our campus at Lancaster Baptist Church? You know, for the past 13 years, West Coast Baptist College has existed. And as a result of the college, we as a church family have had to go through some growing pains. Because of the college, we've had to purchase some additional property. Because of the college, we've had to erect now some 10 dormitory buildings. We've had to build some educational space to provide the classrooms for these students to learn the Word of God. We've had to provide a campus that would be home to these students away from home. We've served literally hundreds of thousands of meals. We've shared church buildings. We've shared buses. We've shared gym floors. We've shared this ministry with these students. We've expanded our staff, and we've asked that staff to dedicate and devote much of their time to meeting the needs of these young people. We've opened our campus to visitors from around the world that just want to come and look at us. We've taken on financial debt. We've allowed our pastor to travel and be away from this place and our needs so that the word of West Coast Baptist College can be spread. Why have we done it? Why, as people of Lancaster Baptist Church, have we gone to this sacrifice? Why have we gone to this effort? The college started in 1995, and my wife and I were privileged to come the next summer in 1996. My first official event was on July 5th, 1996. Pastor had decided to have a Meet the Vice President Day. I thought that was really dumb. But we gathered over in the what we called the multi-purpose room at that time. Some of us still refer to it that way, over there in the North Building. The North Building was the only building we had. And that room was the only room we had that could have any kind of a meeting like that. And I remember about 10 or 12 prospective students showed up at that meeting on July the 5th, 1996. And I had the privilege of speaking that day to some of those students who were thinking about West Coast. They sat there wondering, why would I want to come to this place? Why would I want to come to a one-year-old Bible college? Some of their parents sat there with them, and they were somewhat skeptical and, I suppose, scared. Early that morning, I had written a poem. I entitled it West Coast Baptist College. And I read it that day at that Meet the Vice President Day. It started with a burden in the heart of one man. God moved in his soul, and a new venture began. Why go to the trouble? It's hard to explain. Why another school for men and women to train? Aren't there enough colleges already back east? Let's wait a while, a few more years at least. But Pastor Chapel didn't hesitate or for more time ask. He just rolled up his sleeves and put his mind to the task. There were those who criticized and some didn't care, but he was willing to sacrifice and this cross bear. When God's will is clear, you don't count the cost. A leader must act before the opportunity is lost. So in 1995, this college began. God blessed that first year as only He can. When the doors opened, history was made as the purpose and foundation for the school was laid. A Baptist college to teach young people God's word and challenge them to take it to those who've never heard. A godly atmosphere in a church with a heart, an institution with fervor right from the start. And now we move on, for the task is not done. We must press on and the race before us run. The harvest is plenteous and the fields are white. Every day souls are perishing into hell's dark night. O Lord, give us laborers for this needy hour and endue us with a demonstration of spirit and power. Don't let us grow weary or from your word stray. Use this school for your glory, is all that we pray. And that day I spoke from Matthew chapter 9, and I would ask you to turn there tonight. And Pastor Chapel, I remember looking out that day at a young lady and her dad who were sitting right in front of me. They, like the others that had gathered that afternoon, were a little skeptical. In fact, I later learned that this young lady was not even familiar with what a fundamental Baptist was. She certainly was not sure that this was where God wanted her to come. But you know, that day, God touched her heart, and she enrolled. And Pastor, I saw her Friday. I saw her down in Los Angeles with her husband, with her two children. And now for nearly a decade, that young lady that sat on that Meet the Vice President day has been serving the Lord as a godly youth pastor's wife, reaching young people every week because of West Coast Baptist College. Why do we have the school? Look at it in Matthew chapter 9 and beginning in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I believe in this passage, there are three reasons given in this text that have answered that question, why? Why have West Coast Baptist College? Three reasons are given right here in the Word of God. First of all, the college is an obedience to a command. It is an obedience to a command of God. In verse 38, the Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. God commanded us to pray for laborers. God has commanded us to pray that God would move upon the hearts of men and women to take the gospel to the ends of this world. And when that prayer is answered and God calls those laborers and God wants to send them, it requires that they be trained. And so West Coast Baptist College is an obedience to a command. God has organized the local church as the training station. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That commission was given to the local church. It is our responsibility to respond to God's desire for laborers to not only go, but to be trained as they go. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, God has given us a pastor, and God has given us a staff, and God has given us these people in this place. Why? To train young people to go out and give the gospel to every creature. The things you've heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, West Coast Baptist College is here and exists tonight and will continue to thrive. Why? Because it is an obedience to a command. But notice, secondly, the college is an obligation to a demand. In verse 36, the Bible says in Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he saith to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. When Jesus looked at his world, he saw people as sheep scattered. He saw them as having no direction, no answers to their needs. And he said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months. And then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are white already to harvest. My friend, the problem in this world tonight is not with the harvest. The problem is a lack of laborers. Always has been and always will be. The harvest is white. The harvest is ready to be brought in. Souls are ready to be saved. Places are ready for a church plant. The mission fields are ready to be reached. But the problem tonight is there are not laborers. And so the college is an obligation to a demand. Nearly 7 billion people on this planet tonight. It takes 36 years of seconds to get to 1 billion. If you counted every second for 252 years, you would have the total number of seconds representing the population of this world tonight. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any of them should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ died for the whole world. Jesus Christ is ready to save every person. He loves the whole world, and every person deserves to hear the gospel at least one time. Yet they tell us that 2/3 of the world's population tonight has never heard one time in their life a clear presentation of the Word of God and the gospel of Christ. My friend, in an information age, we are failing the task, the obligation that God has placed before us. But West Coast Baptist College is a meeting of that demand that God has placed before us. And so the college exists tonight to meet that demand. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, then said I, here am I, send me. Ezekiel said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And may, as God looks at this place tonight, may he not say, I found none. But may he say, I found many in that place that were trained and prepared and ready to go out and stand in that gap and make up that hedge for the cause of Jesus Christ. Oh, tonight judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, and truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. But that doesn't surprise God. What surprises God is the next verse in Isaiah 59, when he said, I saw that there was no man, and I wondered that there was no intercessor. What God needs tonight are some young people that will surrender their lives to the cause of reaching this world. And God needs some men and women in that local church that trains them to be intercessors on their behalf, standing with them, partnering together for the work of the ministry, because souls all over this world have never heard the gospel. There are churches tonight without pastors. There are cities without churches. There are mission fields that are unreached. There are missionaries that cannot be replaced. There are fields that are closed because if God opened them, only the false cults would be able to go in. There are teenagers all over the world without guidance, and schools needing teachers and churches needing revivals. We have the privilege of meeting that demand. When I was a boy growing up in the state of Wisconsin, the only state with sin in the name, Wisconsin. When I was growing up in the state of Wisconsin, Wisconsin was known as the graveyard of preachers. No one wanted to go to Wisconsin. A few tried and failed and left. Wisconsin was a hard, cold place. Northerners, stubborn Germans, steeped in Catholicism and Lutheranism. My family, my grandfather helped start a Baptist church. That church was a Northern Baptist church. Later on, after my father left that church, they merged with the American Baptist Church, which some of you are familiar. I grew up as a young boy in that Northern Baptist church. At the age of 10, I remember very clearly one night being sent to bed early. Somehow we got the milking done early and we got the chores done, and we went in the house. It was about 8 o'clock at night, and my dad told my sister and I to go to bed. Well, it was still light outside. I thought, we didn't do anything wrong. At least he didn't say we did. We were sent to our room. Well, we couldn't sleep. My sister was in her room, and I was in my room, and I was just laying there. And all of a sudden, I heard the noise of a car. And I rushed to the window, and there were my grandparents. And then another car, my other grandparents. And another car, my aunt and my uncle. And then another aunt and uncle. And I thought, hey, family reunion. I'll be able to get up. Now, I remember my sister, she heard the same noise, and we both rushed to the top of that stairs, and we sat there on that top step waiting for my mom or my dad to say, come on down, Grandpa and Grandma are here. But that call never came. Instead, the door opened to the front door. And my grandparents and my aunts and uncles walked through that door in silence. And they gathered in the living room, and my sister and I sat on that top step wondering what in the world. There were no normal greetings of joy and happiness. And I remember sitting on that top step of the stairs with my sister listening to that conversation as my relatives had come to beg my father to stay in the First Baptist Church of Watertown, Wisconsin. My dad said, we can't. We can't. It's no longer preaching the Word of God. It's no longer reaching lost souls. There are men on the deacon board that are in the taverns drinking. Standards are gone. We've got to leave. And I remember there were a lot of tears that night. There was a lot of begging of my parents to stay in that church. But my father took his stand that night against his own family and said, we've got to leave. My mom and dad, we started attending a church in a basement of an independent, fundamental Baptist church plant. At that time, when we joined that church, when I was 10 years old, there were five independent Baptist churches in the entire state of Wisconsin. Five. We were one of them. And we were just a handful of people in a basement. God began to bless that church. Souls began to get saved. In fact, there was a revival going on in that town. Within a couple of years, that church had grown from 1962 to 1968 to 300 people. And we would often pray that God would allow churches like ours to start. And do you know that in Wisconsin tonight, there are over 250 Baptist churches as part of the Wisconsin Independent Baptist Church Fellowship? That's just one group of Baptists who are independent. Over 250 churches in 40 years. Amen. You know why it happened? Because men like Dr. Monroe Parker, Dr. Richard V. Clearwaters, Dr. B. Myron Cederholm, Dr. James Wooster, they started Baptist colleges in nearby Minnesota and in the state of Wisconsin. And as those colleges began to thrive, and began to send out students, now churches began to get planted. When I came to West Coast Baptist College, I saw the same need in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in San Diego, in Las Vegas. By the grace of God, because of your investment of time and because of your investment of finance and because of your investment of energy in this place, now, because of West Coast Baptist College, we're seeing the church plants begin to spring up and grow. And the hope of this nation is going to be in what we do in this place in meeting the demand that's out there for local churches. West Coast is an obedience to a command. It is an obligation to a demand. And finally, tonight, the college is an opportunity to expand. In verse number 36 of this chapter, he saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw the multitudes. In verse 37, he said, the harvest is plenteous. In John 4, he said, look on the fields. You see, West Coast Baptist College is not just about this place. It's not just about our church. It's not just about our city called Lancaster. This is bigger than just one field. God commands us to look on the fields. In Isaiah 54 and verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of the habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29, the Bible says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand of the sea. Oh, may God give Lancaster Baptist Church tonight largeness of heart. May God allow us to enlarge our ministry, to expand our ministry. And how is God going to do that? He's going to do that through the ministry of West Coast Baptist College. And as Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And may the people of Lancaster Baptist Church not have this tunnel vision of just saying this is for me and for my family, but may we in this place partner together to enlarge our coast. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Oh, if we will partner tonight in prayer, and if we will partner tonight in energy, and if we will partner tonight in finance, we can reach the heathen for our inheritance. Tonight, because of West Coast Baptist College, pastors are now preaching. The Badgers in North Hollywood, the Craigs in Castaic, the Dickies in Palm Springs, the Haynes in Morgan Hill, the Abrots in Compton, the Mianos in Fresno, the Bensons in Basin, Wyoming, the Billings in Toll House, the Kinsfathers in Boron, the Struthers in Rancho Cucamonga, Josh Ely in Chubbuck, Idaho, the Feases in Bakersfield, the Hawkers in Modesto, the Ermlers in Fresno, the Eisenbergers in Oroville, the Jacksons in Detroit, the Reeds in Cortez, Colorado, the Surreys in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Trojans in Fontana. Tonight, because of this place, our coast is enlarged as pastors preach God's word and build a church for the glory of God. Tonight, because of West Coast Baptist College, we have the miracles in China. We have the Grahams in the Philippines. We have the Youngs and the Winklers in Russia. We have the Weavers going to El Salvador. We have the Tates in Honduras. We have the Malazos in Vancouver. We have the Tylers in Romania. We have the Andersons going to London. We have the Bensons in Tijuana. We have Ashley Bertrand in Uganda. We've got the Bullocks and the Cases and the Montaños in Mexico. We've got the Hayes on the way to Ireland. We've got the Kinneys in Costa Rica. We've got the Palalises in Okinawa, Japan. We've got the Swopes in Canada. Tonight, because of West Coast Baptist College, teenagers have a youth pastor that is leading them in the things that are right and teaching them to serve God. The Henriqueses in Morgan Hill and Brother Eggy in Long Beach and the Connors in Vancouver and the Armors in Phoenix and the Johnsons and Newtons in Newport Beach, the Box in Mayo, Michigan and the Chapels in Lancaster, and Josh Berg in Bel Air, Maryland and the Boyds in Frederick, Maryland, the Campbells in Santa Maria and the Carneses in Mesa, Arizona, Paul Choi and the Geralts in Carson, California, Justin Cruz in Kansas City, the Fountains in Lakewood, Washington, the Gasses in Mesa, Arizona, the Giffens in Sutherland, Nebraska, the Gilberts in Kingman, Arizona, the Gibsons in Auberry, the Greens in Everett, Washington, the Hills in Winder, Georgia, the Hillmans in Lacey, Washington, the Homers in Boron,
the Mark Jarvis Lowry up in Tacoma, Washington, the Johnsons in Hesperia, the Jupps in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, the Jeff Kilthon, Stockton, California, the Kirkmans in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, the Langstons in Mount Pleasant, Arkansas, the Lutermans in Gaines, Michigan, in Myerstown, Pennsylvania, are the Martinez, in Newark, California, are the Millers, in Rawlings, Wyoming, is Steve Monroe, in Fairfield, California, are the Shepherds, in Kingman, Arizona, are the Steimers, in Oceanside is John Tellis. In Tucson, Arizona are the Walkers. In Surrey, British Columbia are the Walmsleys. In Sholo, Arizona are the Wards. And in Hot Springs, Arkansas are the Waters. The Weavers are in Fayetteville, North Carolina. The Wittenbergs in Loves Park, Illinois. The Wilsons in Moreno Valley. And the Winters in Medford, Oregon. Tonight, because of West Coast Baptist College. Tomorrow morning in Christian schools all over this country, West Coast Baptist College students will stand and teach the Word of God in places like Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, and Canoga Park, California, and Clifton, Colorado, and Bridgeport, Michigan, and Newport Beach, and Ukiah, and Chico, and Banning, and Spokane, Washington, and Las Vegas, Nevada, and Clinton, Maryland, and San Jose, and Portland, Oregon, and Annandale, Virginia, in Groves, Texas, and Rockford, Illinois, in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and Moreno Valley, and Napa, in Woodbridge, Virginia, in Rosemount, Minnesota, in Naples, Florida, in Tucson, Arizona, in Jerome, Idaho, and in Bingham, Maryland, in Redwood City, California, in Lacey, Washington, and San Francisco, and New Britain, Connecticut, and Cleveland, Ohio, and Kanohe, Hawaii, and Louisville, Texas, and West Carrollton, Ohio, and Knoxville, Tennessee, and Carrollton, Georgia, and Collegeville, Pennsylvania, and Rawlings, Wyoming, and Plattsmouth, Nebraska, and Gardenia, California, and Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and Mesa, California, and Ewa Beach in Hawaii, and Greenwood, South Carolina, and Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and even on the island of Guam, because somebody prayed, and somebody gave, and somebody sacrificed. And we have young people serving in national ministries like CLA, the Sword of the Lord, young people on the staff of the Neighborhood Bible Time, Revival Ministries. We have evangelists like Justin Cox, John Getz Jr., Ricky Owens, John Herpel. They're everywhere. They're everywhere because of you. And there's more coming. There's more coming. They're going to need your prayers. They're going to need your gifts. They're going to need your kindness. They're going to need your sacrifice. And I'll assure you that we'll do our best in this place to keep adding to the list of laborers in the harvest field. May we pray. Father, tonight we're thankful that we can partner with the God of the universe in accomplishing not our goals, not our vision, but your will. And I thank you for a church family that has lovingly and graciously gone out of their way time after time, day after day, week after week, to not only make this college a reality, but to make it a place where young people can train and go out and do your will. And Lord, may you continue to show your favor upon this place as we partner together for the work of Christ. We thank you for what you've done and what you are going to do. Pastor.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. From 1995 until now, perhaps some